In this section, we're going to talk about how you want to handle all the various objections that you will find that can materialize on a sales call. It is important learning how to handle these objections, as this is where you'll find a lot of bad salespeople will stumble, but is a great opportunity to demonstrate your confidence in your product and your services. Our first objection is the real versus non-real objections. Now, a lot of the time, people will bring up a question that might be masquerading as a real objection, but it's not. And for our constructive sales purposes, you only really want to address objections that you know are real. And as soon as you have done that, you want to quickly isolate these objections and address them. So what do I mean by that? I mean, if someone says, I'm not going to go ahead because of the price, or I need to check with my partner, or any of the reasons that are going to come up with as an objection, you want to isolate that objection and say, is that the only reason that you wouldn't be comfortable moving forward with? Because what I don't want you to do is straight away go down that rabbit hole and start talking about the price, knowing that there could be a lot of other objections that could rise up throughout this process. And the best way for you to do that is by asking your probing questions and getting the prospect to keep talking. Most salespeople or any staff who is in charge of new patient acquisition at your practice, they aren't listening to understand. They listen to respond. They're just listening so that they can shoot out an answer immediately. And that's not the process that you want to take. You want to really listen to what that objection is and determine if it is valid. Is it a real objection? And if it is, you want to isolate those objections at once and you want to address them one at a time. You don't want to have to keep coming back to the same objection. When I say you isolate it, you want to address it and then move it aside. Before addressing any objection, make sure you know all potential objections by asking, is there anything else that you are concerned about before moving forward? Or you can say, is there any other reason other than your partner's approval that you wouldn't feel comfortable going ahead with? Or is there any other reason that this wouldn't make sense other than the fee? If we can make the fee make sense, is this something that we can get done for you? Because a lot of the time you will answer an objection on money and then they could introduce alternate objections like, well, I don't want to pay a $20 deposit or I'll have to check with my husband before doing this. So what you are essentially becoming is like a frog that is jumping from one objection pond to the other. And they are in control because you haven't isolated their objections. By isolating each objection and then addressing it and then only moving forward once you've addressed all of their objections, then that's when a sale can take place. To summarize this section, when you handle objections, you want to identify real versus non-real objections. People may just object to certain things or they've got questions rather than a valid reason for them not to buy. Then, once it is a real objection that you've managed to identify, you want to isolate it, address it, before moving on to the next objection. Now, in this section, I want to talk about specifically the toughest objection that you could possibly face when you or your staff are on a sales call or out there in the marketplace. I've had the benefit of working with many salespeople throughout my career, and one thing that I've always noticed is that certain salespeople really struggle with certain types of objections, and it's not like it's one particular type of objection that everybody struggles with. Typically, the biggest objection that salespeople struggle with is in their mind. It's not in the mind of the prospect. Now, what I mean by that is, if you are someone that has a hard time with spending money on, say, big items, or you don't take lightly investing large sums of money in your own health or appearance, then price is going to be a massive problem for you personally. And it's going to be the biggest objection sticking point for you in your sales process. If you're not sold on investing large sums of money on yourself, then what you'll find is when you keep coming against prospects that don't want to spend a large amount of money on themselves, deep down, because you're not sold on this point, you will be lacking conviction in getting the prospect to buy in and being able to shut down that objection. If you're comfortable with spending large amounts of money on yourself and you believe in it, you're going to have so much more conviction and you're going to be better at selling that value because you're already operating your life in such a way that is congruent with your sales pitch. You're not going to have a problem with this objection. You'll be able to confidently break down the price, you know, in payment plans at flexible, affordable weekly rates, and say things like, look, this is something that's required in order for you to fix this problem that you're experiencing. This is the end outcome that you want to achieve. This is how you get it. This is the bridge. You need to invest this money in yourself to get to where you want to go. So what I want you to do is to identify what are the most common objections for yourself when you are making purchasing decisions and look at why that is and what are the underlying fundamental issues that you have with those objections. Why do you think like this? Why do you think it's a lot of money? You know, you really want to break that down and deconstruct it and find the means for getting sold on the objection yourself. If you can find the means of selling yourself on this objection of yours, I can assure you that when this objection comes up on a sales call with a prospect, you are going to have so much more conviction that you will obliterate that objection. And then it won't be your biggest objection that you will struggle with moving forward. Though, that will mean that you'll identify a new number one biggest objection, and you'll have to start tackling that one moving forward. To recap, the biggest objection and hurdle that you face when you're on the phone is really in your mind, and it's not in the mind of the prospect. It might be hard to believe or to wrap your head around your own personal objections, but trust us, it's true. What you have to do is just find out why you're feeling that way about a particular objection, break it down, and move forward. Now, I get asked quite often, what is the hardest objection? And what I tell them is that the deadliest objection of all is the silent objection. It's the one that you don't even know about because the prospect hasn't verbalized it and they're keeping it close to their chest. As an effective salesperson, it's something that you need to get really good at unearthing from a prospect. And the way that you do that is you answer all of their objections, and at the end of every objection that you answer, you can say something to the effect, is there any other reason that this wouldn't make sense for you to go through with it today? The key here is to find out what it is that a prospect is not telling you about why they are not moving forward. Many times I've come across moments where I've answered every objection provided, but that person still doesn't want to proceed. And the reason for that is that there's something that they're not telling me. Therefore, what you need to get good at is unearthing and really finding out what it is that's holding a person back from moving forward. And if it's silent, they won't immediately verbalize it without you prodding. Unless you ask, you will never get to address this silent objection, and that's why it's so deadly. Because if you don't even know that an objection exists, how do you address it? And if it doesn't get answered, then they won't be buyers. It's silent and deadly, and you need to become a master at unearthing them and being rigorous in your process for finding out what other silent reasons could be holding back prospects from going ahead with your services. It's not something that you want to take for granted. It's something that you need to specifically ask. Is there any other reason that you wouldn't move forward with this? Or is there any other reason other than price that you wouldn't be comfortable in becoming a client or patient today? And that's how you want to address it. So to recap, you need to be rigorous in your process and ask questions. Ask questions that come from all different types of angles and unearth those silent objections, because unless it is addressed, they will not be doing business with you. Now, the best way to handle objections is before they even show up in the conversation. And the way that you do that is by incorporating the most common objections into your existing sales script, or modifying the seven-figure samurai sword sales script that we've included in this guide and placing in your objections so you're anticipating them like a chess move before they even arrive. You want to tackle objections before they are even voiced. For instance, in our business, when we do search engine optimization work for a client, we work on 12-month contracts, and sometimes people will have a problem with that length of commitment. The way that we address that is that we let them know in the initial steps of our conversation that doing search engine optimization is a lengthy process. It's not something that just happens overnight. Optimizing a website for it to be found on page one of Google with reliable, update-resistant strategies for your most valuable keywords in a month's time frame? Well, that's not the way that this game works. So the way that we deliver our pitch is we educate our prospects to know how long their competitors have been optimizing their website to get to page one. And then all of the work that is required on our end to come from behind and outwork that competitor and do more work to convince a search engine that our client's website is the most preferred website for those keywords. During that exploration, it will already be established in the prospect's mind that this won't be a quick process. If you're looking for quick wins and you need leads immediately, SEO is not the game for you. I mean, it's definitely the most rewarding and the highest source of valued traffic that there is online. But to achieve lasting results, it's going to take 6 to 12 months and beyond to achieve it. Therefore, when the objection ever shows up about a 12-month contract, we've already validated why it is so in our initial discussions. And because price is always a factor in prospects' objections, you want to think about the prices you charge and how can you build value around the price point that you're asking for, because a transaction only occurs when value exceeds price. In your sales pitch, you want to be building the value in before any objection can be raised. And you want to talk about the elements in the materials and services that you provide, thereby addressing the price point objection before it is raised. When you do that, it will minimize the main objections that come up about pricing. While I'm pretty sure that you're still going to get them, it's going to reduce the number of times that will come up in your sales process. What you can do to improve your current sales process is to write down what those objections are that you're always coming across. Is it your payment terms? Is it the price? Is it the amount of time that it takes for them to get that service or get that outcome? And then you want to think about the ways that you can incorporate a response to the potential objection into your existing script or modifying the seven-figure sales script that we've provided you in this sales guide so that you can implant those objections and address them and pre-frame them before they ever even come up. They will still come up, but what will happen is you'll be able to address them with much less resistance because you've already established your case before they've even brought that topic up. But no matter what you're selling, the money objection is typically going to be the most dominant objection that keeps on coming up. And what I want to show you is how to handle money objections, how to isolate them and handle them so that you can move on to the next step in the selling cycle. Typically, when someone says, "Oh, that's very expensive," or they say, "Do you have a cheaper option? That's really expensive." Or, What about the payment terms, or how do the payments work? It's all relating to money, and whether you're able to justify the price that you are asking. Before we get into the specifics of money objections, something that I want to remind you about is that a transaction takes place only when value exceeds price. When someone is having a problem with the price, that is because you haven't established enough value yet for them. That's why in our sales training with other medical and healthcare practices, we typically advise them to never tell a prospect the price of an item until the full value has been established. Without establishing its full value, regardless of the price that you tell them, they're going to think, "Ooh, that's expensive," and use that as an excuse to not go ahead. Knowing that, let's dive into the specifics of the money objection now. Now, when someone says something like, "Ooh, that's really expensive, do you have a cheaper option?" This is typically the way that you want to handle it. "Okay, is there any other reason other than money that we couldn't get this done for you? Or maybe, is there any other reason other than money on why this wouldn't make sense to you? So, what are you suggesting right now?" We're isolating the objection and making sure that it isn't just a fake objection masquerading as a real objection. We want to isolate it and say something to the effect, "If everything else makes sense, is there any other reason that this wouldn't make sense to move forward?" And giving them the opportunity to raise any other kinds of concerns or objections at this stage before addressing this money objection. So how do we go about addressing it? First, we want to establish the ground rules of your engagement. And what you want to communicate here is openness. "Look, you can shoot me straight. Is this something that you really want to do? Because if it's not a good fit, that's completely okay. Like, I can take a no as easy as I can take a yes." Now, what are we doing here? We're inviting them to be okay with giving us a no. And we're making it easier for them to say no, because the last thing that we want to do is address a non-real objection, or this is not a right fit for them and that they don't really want to do it. We want to open that door and allow them to walk out that door before we waste our time trying to handle any real objections on someone who is already imagining their exit. Now, this is probably completely opposite to how most salespeople will operate. Think about what most salespeople are trying to do. They're trying to back a prospect into a corner where they have no other option but to say yes. They're selling on pressure, on hype, and they've probably started making the person feel uncomfortable and uncertain. That is not good. And these sales will fall over eventually, and your reputation could get damaged in the marketplace due to your aggressive style. Instead, what we're doing in this particular instance is that we're isolating the objection and giving the prospect a door to exit out of if this is just not the right fit, and really locking it down that there is a real price objection that we need to handle here. A prospect could reply with, "No, it really is the money," and what we've done is we've just validated that this is a money objection, and then we know that they're really telling us that our value is not exceeding the price that we're asking. And what we need to do is to go back building that item's value again and say, "Oh, look, I apologize. Obviously, I haven't communicated this very well." And do your best establishing those value-added components again. And if we get to the end of our attempts to establish the value again, and it still doesn't make sense to the prospect, and there is always going to be this disconnect with that prospect, and they most likely do not have the money, or they don't see the value. Not that that has to be the end of your sales pitch. If they say that they don't have the money and they are really struggling to get beyond that, if you are flexible, we can simply ask them, "How can we make this work for you? Find out more about their current situation. How much savings do you have right now for this procedure? Tell us, and maybe we can work out the rest of the payment in agreeable terms." and then present your payment plan options to see what they say. They might say, I could pay it off under those terms, or yeah, I could do this. Or finally, is there a cheaper option? But this is a really great way to isolate the money objection for specifically addressing it. Now, the next way we look at the money objection is to look at the objection to spending the money. In this instance, what we like to say to a prospect is, okay, so you didn't get in touch because you wanted to save money. You got in touch because you wanted to achieve X, X being the outcome that they desire. If we look at a specific example around a prospect inquiring about services involving weight loss, then you could say something like, look, I understand that, but you didn't get in contact with me because you were looking to save money. You did it because you've tried all these other things and none have worked for you to lose weight. And that is exactly what our service is designed to do. So what else are you planning to do to solve this weight loss problem that you're experiencing right now? What this does is reinforce how you can help achieve the desired outcome, that you want to help solve this problem that they're experiencing right now, and that your services are exactly what they need. And this brings us back to where a transaction only takes place where value exceeds price, and that's what you need to accomplish. Because if the pain point is so great that the prospect would pay anything to solve that pain point, and if you haven't clearly articulated that you could really help them solve that pain point, providing the valued outcome that they're looking for in a clear enough way that they don't see that value, then it probably wasn't a big enough pain point for them to spend that kind of money in the first place. And if that's the case, then we're not going to close them anyway. That is why in the screening process earlier, we talked about unearthing the four key elements from a prospect using the NBAT method, which stands for needs, budget, authority, and time. One of the first elements we need to know is if they have a strong need or big enough problem that they want to solve it right now, or if they're just thinking about having it done within the next 6 months to a year. From that, you can guess the temperature of the lead, how hot or cold they are. To recap, before handling any money objections and building more value into your offering, you want to isolate the money objection with the prospect, ensure this is the only issue holding them back from proceeding. This way, you know that if it still comes down to a no from the prospect, then it wasn't the payment terms or your service delivery or any other issue. It was truly just about the money. In this next section, we're going to talk about partner objections. When it comes to high-valued procedures, there is typically a third party involved. It could be a husband or wife, but it is whoever that third party is that your prospect keeps referring to when they say something like, I'm going to need to speak with my partner about this. As part of our screening process, we discussed that you need to unearth the four key elements using the NABAT method, which are needs, budget, authority, and time. Authority is one of the key elements that you need to determine to see if your prospect needs to talk to their partner or any other individual about a procedure that they are considering. This will help determine who is the main decision maker, as you want to be selling directly to that main decision maker. If they are the main decision maker, this will help save you a lot of time from trying to address the partner objection. But if you do need to address the partner objection, as there will be a third party involved when it comes to deciding to move forward or not, here's your game plan. Typically, for a high-valued procedure, a prospect will need to check with their partner or respected individual for getting their perspective or even approval. It is best for you to get this other individual on a call or discussion that you're having with the prospect, instead of you relying on your information being passed through the original prospect. If for some reason that individual is not available to be included in your conversations, then you'll need to have a structured way to handle this objection. The best way to handle this objection is to say, okay, sure, what part of this do you need to speak to your partner about? What we're trying to do here is we're probing for a hidden objection, as they obviously know their partner better than we do. And there is a sense that the prospect knows them well enough that there might be an existing objection from them against the prospect proceeding. We want to know what specific part of your discussions do they need to speak to their partner about. And then, when they say what that is, then you'll want to address that objection. We can imagine already what will happen when you and your prospect finish your discussion and they go back to talk to their objecting partner. Your prospect will try to recreate what you've just told them to their partner in a much less persuasive way, perhaps not even establishing the value in the right way, and they will make a less convincing case, which will allow for the partner to easily provide a negative reason for the prospect to not go forward. So you want to future pace here and find out what the prospect believes the partner's objections could be. We need to openly listen to what this prospect has to say, and then you want to address that objection right then and there. Start by adding, are there any other questions that you think your partner would have? We always want to make sure that we have the complete picture and avoid allowing for more objections later on. One strategy that we can use is to get the partner involved immediately. Hey, why don't we get your partner on the phone right now and I can kind of give them a quick summary of everything that we've discussed. There's nothing more powerful than getting both decision makers involved at the same time to hash out those objections. However, if that's not an option, you need to make sure that you address every single objection with the prospect and arm them with everything that they need to go and get your point across to that partner. And then, after giving them all of that ammunition, you can explore their partner objections even more by saying, look, obviously you know your partner better than I do. So if they were here talking to us right now and they heard this whole process, how do you think they would feel about you doing something like this, knowing full well that the outcome is exactly what you are trying to achieve? They will already know what their partner is thinking. They knew from the moment that you started talking. Them letting you know that they need to talk to someone is more about them buying some time to go and speak with their partner. You can even take this further. What are the points that you think they might have a problem with? Or, you know, what are the things that you think would interest them most? And if you felt ready to ultimately fast forward the discussion and future pacing to control the situation, you can say to them, what happens if your partner says no? I'd rather address this now with you rather than on a call later. Here's a look at how discussions of this nature could proceed. I guess if my partner says no, then I guess we'll have to leave it. Oh, okay, sure. So if your partner says no, what are you two going to do to get your desired outcome? Or you could even say, what are your other options to solve this problem that you're trying to solve right now? But on the flip side, okay, if your partner says yes, are you a yes? Yeah, look, I'm all good. I just simply want to chat with my partner to see if they are good, and then we're good to go. Okay, cool. So if we speak to your partner and they are all fine, then you are good to go? Because you know that if they are a 10 and you're not a 10, then that's going to be a waste of time. So I just want to get on the same page with you. If they're all good, we can get this done for you? Yes, definitely, we can get it done. All right, but if they still aren't ready to say yes, it is most likely that there is another objection holding them back, and you need to address those hidden objections to avoid wasting more of your time. Okay, cool, No problem. It's totally fine. Look, I'll leave it with you. Before you go, could you please just do me a favor and shoot me straight? I speak to a lot of people. If this works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine too. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being that you wouldn't go ahead no matter what I offered you, and 10 being that you're ready to go right now, where are you sitting? Now, typically a prospect is going to say that they're a 6 or a 7. No matter what the number is, after they've offered their number, you can say something like, okay, great. What do I need to do to get you to a 10? Now, before you end the discussion so that they can go speak to their partner, you want to get a read and do a final temperature check and find out where this prospect's thinking is at. And you want to provide them an opportunity to allow them to walk out that door with no pressure. This is an opportunity for you to address any final objections that might be still holding them back. Do you see how this process is dramatically different from how most people will typically instruct you to handle a sales call? Most salespeople prefer to avoid confrontation, and they will avoid rejection at all costs and simply just try to rush that person to move forward. But that's not what we want to do here. We not only want to build a relationship, but we want to build that relationship with someone who is genuinely interested in our product or services. Wasting our time forcing sales on those that don't want it will only waste our time. When they are about to leave, take the time to set up another opportunity to discuss the results of their conversation with their partner. Don't just say, yeah, I'll give you a call tomorrow, and leaving it very open-ended. That's the opposite of what we want to do. You want to firmly lock down a follow-up meeting, and so you will want to say, all right, when do you think you're going to have that chance to chat with your partner? And, you know, they'll give you the answer, and you'll reply, awesome. Well, how does tomorrow suit for chatting again? Yeah, tomorrow works great. Okay, great. Morning or afternoon? The morning. Terrific. How does 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. sound? Which one works best for you? 11 a.m. Okay, terrific. I'm pulling out my calendar and I've booked you in, and I'll be sending you a meeting request for tomorrow at 11 a.m. Great. We've got our follow-up meeting arranged. And now that that's locked in, we want to take it one step further and we want to say to the prospect, awesome. I've got you all locked in for 11 a.m. tomorrow. Is there any reason that you wouldn't be able to make that call? We're giving them a final opportunity for them to stop and really think about their scheduling and commitments and to think if there is any possibility that they wouldn't be able to make that meeting. Oh yeah, I have to pick up my son from preschool or a meeting I've got, etc. Again, it is not just allowing them to think about it further, but also for them to really lock in an appointment that's not tentative. It's in both of your calendars. From there, follow up on your planned meeting and hear the results of their partner's objections. Ideally, you will be in the clear, and everyone will be ready to proceed forward. But if you get a negative response, you can still return to a similar line of questioning that we looked at earlier, where your prospect has said, well, if my partner says no, then I guess we'll have to leave it. Your response can be, okay, sure, your partner says no, well, then what are you two going to do to get to your desired outcome? What are your other options to solve this problem that you're trying to solve right now? Fundamentally, the prospect still has an issue that they want to address, and this is about exploring the options available for addressing it. At this point, you might be in a losing position, as the partner objection might be too strong. So it isn't something that you want to press too much further on, but a final attempt at addressing how their desires and needs might supersede their partner's objections could be in their best interest. To recap this section, we've explored how to deal with a third party or partner objection, And there's a lot of ways that conversation can go down. But if you go over these different scenarios, exploring them with your prospect, you'll be able to unearth everything that you need to know and everything that you need to address with someone who is telling you that they need to speak to their partner before deciding. Moving right along now to our next objection, which is the I need to think about it objection. Now, there will be a bit of repetition in this guide because the I need to think about it objection isn't a real objection. It's actually a fake objection masquerading as a real objection. If someone needs to think about it, what they're telling you is that they're not clear and that there hasn't been enough value built up for them to be ready to invest. The reality for most situations like this is that this objection is referring back to the price. So typically when someone says to you, yeah, that sounds good. I just need to think about it. This is how you want to deal with it. Sure, no problems. What part of this do you need to think more about? Is it the money? You want to pair these two things together. Because in most instances, it's always the money that they need to think more about. At which point, we will know it is actually a money objection that we need to address. Okay, is there any other reason that this wouldn't make sense for you other than money? So if we can make the money make sense, we're good and we can go ahead and get this done? Yes, it's just the money. No problem. Let me go over this with you one more time because I obviously haven't explained the value very well, and I apologize. So what you're going to get is, and then you lay out everything that they are going to get and establish all of the value that you will be providing to them. Because them needing to think about it isn't a real objection. And we want to push through that fake objection. And we want to find out what their silent, most likely money, objection actually is. This allows us to step back and figure out what exactly is going on in their mind. But say it is in price, and they really do just want to think about it. Here's how we can handle that scenario. Okay, that's great. Look, no problems. Most people do need to think about it before they make a final decision. Let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being that you wouldn't go ahead no matter what I offered you, and 10 being you're ready to go right now, where are you sitting? This is reiterating a conversation we described earlier, because much like that previous use of these lines, we were trying to identify what the real silent objection is that our prospect is keeping from us. We want to bring that hidden objection into the spotlight so that we can address it. If you wanted to try a different strategy, you could use, look, no problems. I get that. Now, I want to make sure that this is going to be a great fit for you. Can I ask you this? What haven't we discussed that you still need to think about? I'm right here right now to help you make an empowered and informed decision. What haven't we covered, or what questions or concerns do you still have that are unanswered? Let's address them right now. And then you can move forward and hopefully address all of those objections that are still holding them back. So to recap, the I need to think about it objection is a false objection. It doesn't exist. There's always a real underlying objection that is behind someone saying that, and it is masquerading as a real objection. You'll want to shatter those false objections and find out what the real objection is. And then you want to isolate it and handle that real objection so that you can keep the ball moving closer to the desired outcome that you want with this prospect.